That's that.
I've said this before.
All right. Welcome to Hebrew Club. 1 week before Christmas and the last session before our break, so I'm glad that everybody's here. And we're going to see how much we can get through, if we can get through all of 2 Samuel chapter 7 today. We're about ready to start verse 22, right? So David now, just to pick it up there, is talking about or reflecting on the covenant that God had just made with him, all right? And he said something significant in the previous section. He goes on now to praise the Lord and express a very thankful attitude, as you'll see. So we're going to start at verse 22 of chapter 7, okay? Al kein gadalta Adonai Yahweh ki ein kamoka ve'ein Elohim zulateka b'kol asher shamanu be'ozneinu. Therefore, you are great, O Adonai Yahweh, O Lord God, for there is no one kamoka, for there is no one like you. And there is no God, zulateka, and there is no God besides you. So notice he not only says there's no God like you, namely you're the best among all other gods, but there's no God except you. So he kind of gets more specific, okay? In everything, Bekol, now he gets kind of more specific. Specifically, in everything which we have heard, Be'ozneinu, with our ears. All right, so only a God, only Yahweh alone is the only one who has made such promises to his people. All right? Verse 23, Umi ke'ameka ke'Yisrael goy echad ba'aretz asher halku Elohim lifdot lo la'am velasum lo shem velasot lakem hagerola venoraot la'artzeka mipnei ameka. This is a long verse. Asher padita lekamim Mitzrayim goyim ve'lo hav. All right. And who is like your people, like Israel? All right, so notice again he specifies. Goy echad, one nation. I like the JPS translation actually has a unique nation. All right. Ba'aretz, in the earth. Okay. Now notice, I want you to notice the grammar. You get something a little unusual. Which, now notice the verb is a plural verb from Halak. The subject is Elohim. So, and who is like you, like Israel? Who is like your people, like Israel? One nation in the land where God walked. Now see, it's unusual because usually when Elohim is referred to, the verb is singular. Here's one of the few places that you see it as a plural form, all right? Notice the Septuagint has the singular form, all right? A little different form there. But anyway, I want you to just look at this. So where God walked or went, lifdot, to redeem for himself. Notice that this is just a call, infinitive construct from pada with that ot ending. So where God walked to redeem for himself a people. So notice lamed here functions as the indicator for the direct object. Okay, and to assume, here's another infinitive, to establish for himself a name. All right. So notice that while you even have the plural verb, there's kind of incongruity because the lo is singular. See? And that's how it usually is even with the verb. So who is like your people, like Israel, one nation in the land where God walked or went to redeem for himself a people and to establish for himself a name? Velasot, again another call infinitive construct, and to make for you, namely Israel, notice it's plural, and to do for you, hagerola, the great thing, ve'noraot, and awesome things, all right? So this is from Yara, the Niphal, the great thing, and awesome things le'artzecha, to the land or in the land. All right? Mipnei ameka, before your people, asher padita, which you redeemed. Again, a call from Pada, which you redeemed for yourself from Egypt. All right? Mim Mitzrayim, namely a nation and his gods. And so notice that the Goyim Velohav is referring to Egypt, to redeem for yourself, whom you redeem for yourself from Egypt, and then you might, in English, from a nation and its gods. All right? But Goyim, again, and is specifying or modifying Mitzrayim there in 24. Yeah, Jim. Yeah.
It's probably because my Hebrew is getting worse by the day. Would we call it odd that there's no resumptive pronoun after the Ba'aretz way back in the verse when it says, you know, in a land where God walked, where that incongruity is there? Would we call that odd, or is that in Samuel just sort of...
I wouldn't say it's odd that you see a lot of times with these relative clauses you want the resumptive and you don't have it. So it's... Again, it's just another indicator, maybe an indicator that as we saw in First and that we're seeing in Second Samuel, that the Hebrew is not standard. Maybe it's kind of a substandard, more colloquial kind of thing. So you kind of see those nice elements left out. Now, it'd be interesting to do a study to see how common something like that particular element occurs in these books as opposed to other narrative and see if there's any kind of patterns or not. You know, you see it, you know, you see it kind of inconsistently, right? Notice also in this text you see these incongruencies, so that the lakem is plural, but notice the pronoun on artzeka is singular and ameka. So notice to do for you, namely a people, great and awesome things for your land. I guess that's referring to Yahweh, so that's not so incongruous. But notice that he's going to switch back and forth from the plural to singular. Or, you know, it's just kind of, to our understanding, seems inconsistent. And you see that more in a text like this. And what's your second question?
The second question was, how often is Israel put in opposition with Goy as opposed to Am?
Again, right, the assumption always is that Am refers to Israel and Goy refers to the nations, but there are places where Goy refers to you. Yeah. Yep. Okay. Good. Verse 24 then. Vate konen leka et ameka Yisrael leka la'am ad olam va'ata Yahweh hayita lahem le'elohim. And you established, okay, so this is from Kun. Notice a polel from Kun, and you established for yourself et amekah, your people, Israel. Okay? For yourself, for a people, ad olam, forever. Again, notice David's being very wordy here, if you've noticed. Kind of repetitive. Again, something that's bothersome for us, but we've seen this also in narrative. It's kind of a stylistic thing that you see more, right? He seems to use more words than is absolutely necessary. It's not tight to our way of thinking. So he repeats this, Laka la'am ad olam, see? Ve'ata, and you, O Lord, hayita, are to them le'elohim, God. And notice the lahem can be thought of as possessive, and you are their God. Okay, so you establish for yourself your people Israel, for yourself a people forever, and you, O Lord, are their God. Okay. Questions through 24.
So this is a dialogue between David and God. Right?
Yeah, it's almost a monologue though. David is the one doing all the talking. Yeah. Notice, and he's reflecting on the significance of this covenant that God has made with him, and the significance of God's relationship with Israel more. So, yeah, notice the theological assumptions that David is using or thinking with as he's thinking about this covenant.
Could the reason be why he uses Goy at the beginning is because he's talking about before God's covenant with the people of Israel, and that's why he just uses nation. And then now, when he establishes the covenant, we switch to.
Yeah, again, I don't know. You'd have to see how goyim is used there to see if that's... But, I mean, I think the general observation is right. When you want to emphasize the relationship between God and Israel, Am is much more common, I mean, by far. And notice how it's always followed up with your people, Israel. So throughout, he kind of makes those kinds of specification or specifying moves in the text. Notice, too, you're getting this language of covenant. I will be their God, they will be my people. That goes way back to the covenant God made with Abraham, which I think is interesting because it's at least a textual hint that David sees what God is doing here is related to what God did to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. See with the language. That language becomes more prevalent, notice, in like book of Jeremiah and Ezekiel. I will be your God, you will be my people kind of talk, see. It's just an interesting way that David's reflecting on it and would bear further study. You know, kind of interesting to see what he's doing. All right, verse 25. Ve'ata Yahweh Elohim ha'davar asher debarta al avdika ve'al beito lemor Yahweh Zevaot Elohim al Yisrael uveit avdika David yihya nakon lefaneka. Okay. And now, O Lord God, the word which you promised, Debarta, the word which you promised over your servant and over his house, Hakem, establish. Notice that this is from Kum, Hifil, and it is a imperative, okay? So, notice I translate Debarta not just speak, but in... You know, it's not uncommonly used as promise. And I think that's... See, so the word which you promised concerning your servant and over his house, establish ad olam, establish forever. Here's another imperative, va'aseh. Notice third hey imperatives. And do as debarta, as you have said or as you have promised. Okay. Verse 26. Ve'yigdal shimakad olam le'mor Yahweh Zevot Elohim al Yisrael. Uveit avdika David yihye nakon lifaneka. Oh, I already read that. And may your name be great. Ve'yigdal ad olam forever. See, he keeps repeating ad olam too. See, notice how the underlying is there. May your name be great forever. Saying, or as if to say, Yahweh, the Lord of hosts, is God over Israel. All right. And the house of your servant David will be nakon, will be established. Okay, nifal, participle from kun, will be established before you. Okay, again, very wordy. Questions through 26. Okay, 27. Kiati Yahweh Zevot Elohe Yisrael, galita et ozen avdika lemor, Bait evne lak alkein matzav deka et libo lehit palel eleka et ha tefila hazot. For you, O Lord of hosts, are the God of Israel. You, galita, you uncovered. This is a call from gala, second masculine singular. Okay. Notice the hey spelling for the second masculine singular. You uncovered the ear of your servant, saying, a house I will build for you. Therefore, your servant has found his heart. Notice, it's kind of idiomatic. He has found his heart to pray. We would say, he said it in his heart or he got it in his mind, lehitz palel, to pray to you, et hatefila hazot, this prayer. So notice he characterizes what he's been doing as prayer. Really interesting. Okay. Questions through 27. We're going to make it to the end. All right. Notice, too, the movements in the text with the ve'atas, as he's been talking now, ve'ata and therefore, and here we have another one, and then we have another one, 29. Ve'ata Adonai Yahweh, ata hu ha'elohim, u devareka yihyu emet, Vatera ber el avdeka et hatova hazot. And therefore, O Lord God, you are ha-Elohim. Or it is you who are God, who is God. U-devareka, and your words, yih-yu, will come true. Emet. Pause. And so you promised to your servant, et hatova hazot, this good thing. All right? And he's, of course, referring to the covenant. Verse 29, the last one. Ve'ata ho'el uvarek et beit avdeka liyot le'olam lefaneka ki ata Adonai Yahweh debarta u'mi bir kataka yevorak beit avdeka le'olam. And so, this is from Ya'al, okay? To be pleased or to be willing. So it's a hifil imperative. And so be willing or be pleased. Uvarek, here's another piel imperative. Why is there a comments under the bait? Because the resh spits out the dagesh. Right. So, and so be pleased and bless the house of your servant. Okay. To be forever before you. And so notice the subject of this infinitive construct, hayot, is Israel. Okay, so now be pleased and bless the house of your servant so that your servant is forever before you. Everybody see that, how that's working? For you are Adonai Yahweh, are the you, the Lord God, Dibarta, have spoken. Okay, and from your blessing, may the house of your servant, or the house of your servant, will be blessed forever. That Yevorak is a pu'al. Remember, it's normally in the PL. Here's the pu'al of Yevorak, to be blessed. And from your blessing, or by your blessing, the house of your servant will be blessed forever. So notice, he clearly sees what God is saying as this eternal covenant God made with them. And I think he sees connections with what God was doing earlier in Israel's history with the Abraham covenant. And he seems to sense the magnitude of what God was telling him. And that, you remember, even in the previous section, we saw that this is the Torah for mankind. This is the instruction for mankind that goes, seeing again in Abraham, in you all nations of the earth will be blessed. See, I really like the theological connections that the second half of this chapter brings out about the covenant, which we don't normally take the time to look at. All right. So very good. Any questions about anything in this chapter? All right. You guys all have a blessed holiday, and we will see you when we get back, and we'll start chapter 8. I'm glad you're back.
I'm glad to be back. It's been a while. Logos.